Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
On J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It is draft day. Alan Hahn in for Zubin.
Man, he turned that corner.
Keyshawn, you love the highlights, man. Your reaction to
man,
highlights
that dude
are
turned
just
the corner,
so
man, and pick him up and put him down.
The dichotomy between like when a wide receiver catches a tough pass, he's like, "Ooh, look at the way he threw that." And then when it's like Mac Jones throwing the ball in the flat, he's like, "Oh God, I can't."
Mack, mack. Because it's a trick play, man.
It's like, oh, that's what I got.
Okay, well, first of all, it's a trick play. You got a receiver
faking it. Why do you
always
find a reason?
Because it's a trick play.
Give me one.
And y'all sit there like, oh, look at that throw. I'm like, man, come on, man.
I didn't say anything. I need you to say one nice thing about
Mac Jones. How you react.
If he can't hit that dude wide open by himself, then something seriously is wrong with the evaluation. And it's not – all it is Devontae
see what
Smith.
See that does, Alan? You see how you get him? You see how you get him right there?
No, Devontae Smith was on a fake fly sweep coming across the motion. He stopped at behind the quarterback. So, therefore, the defender was trying to cut him off on the other side of the ball. So, the defender going to cut him off. And then when he snaps the ball, the defender gets caught in the wash. So, he can't get back out. Mm-hmm. So, all Devontae did was stop, went back the other way. The defender's caught in the wash. He's wide open.
And all Mac Jones has to do is hit his
just
target.
Toss it.
Hit his target.
But y'all be like, oh, my God, what a great throw. I'm like, man, stop.
Can you say one?
God.
Watching positive. The film, give me one positive about Mac Jones. Like, one thing you were like, he's good at this.
He throws a football well. He's very accurate at throwing a football.
That's an important trait, isn't
it? It's very important.
Could he step in right now for a well-oiled machine like San Francisco if Jimmy G goes down?
Honest opinion.
And elevate them.
I don't know his mental toughness. I mean, I know everybody says he played in the SEC conference, all of that. He's smart. Every damn quarterback is smart. That's why they're playing the position. Every quarterback is smart. I don't care what anybody says. They're all smart. That's why they're underneath the center. They have to decide and decipher information that is given to them, spit it out to their team, put people in the right position. True. They're all smart.
They're just
to me.
Different levels of smart.
It's different levels of smart.
All right, what level?
But I do think that if they want to do what they did when they got to the Super Bowl, which is play solid defense, run the ball, and have a quarterback make a few throws here and there, then he may be able to do that.
Again, Jimmy G couldn't make the one throw he had to make.
Yeah, I know.
Could
that was
Mac
tough.
Jones make that throw? And you know,
he
that,
could.
That's
a, he
and
could.
That's of course.
Hell,
part
a backup
of the
could make the throw possibly. Well,
and there, that's. I mean, and know. I think that was the question that Jay was asking. But all right, so how smart is Russell Wilson? Or maybe how dumb are we to fall for some of the stuff?
Y'all
that
fell
go
for
on
it. Don't say
stuff.
We. Don't put me in it. Okay. I ain't fall for it. Not
how,
one time.
How dumb is Jay and I?
Jay didn't fall for it either.
Don't throw me in that
category. Jay always. I peep Jay. Jay sit back and listen to the football players when certain little information leak out. He like, no, I'm going to listen to Dan Orlovsky. I'm going to listen to Spears and Key. I'm going to listen to Bart on this one. A couple NFL ex-players, Damon Woody and them, they're going to come on the show. I'm going to listen to them. I'm not listening to people just putting things out there for the sake of putting it out.
All right, I'll rephrase. How dumb am I to think
Very.
That Russell Wilson – would might want to, like, you know, he and Sierra, maybe they really do want to get out of Seattle. I fell for it again. Lucy pulled the football away, and I'm on my back like Charlie Brown, because now all of a sudden the word out of Seattle is everything's great. Like I referenced before, Animal House, all is well. It's everything's fine. There's nothing to see here. Listen to Pete Carroll talking about the place that he, Seattle, the Seahawks, and Russell Wilson are in right now.
Things are said, and sometimes you have to deal with stuff, and that's how we take care of our business. And we're in a fantastic place right now, and really excited about this team and this season and this draft coming up and all of that. And a little bit frustrated that we're not able to do our football in the off season right now. You know, we're in a Zoom mode and in a virtual mode right now, but that's just the way it is. And so we'll make the most of it and compete to make it the best.
Fantastic place right now. John Schneider also talked about it as well. So. Since, you know, some of the frustrations were aired from Russell Wilson about his not having a voice in the organization, we keep hearing, no, everything's fine. That's what we're and you believe everything's fine?
100%. From day one, Alan,
what was that all about? What was that?
Because what happens is the agent put it out. So
it was a list of teams that he would go to.
The agent put it out. So once the agent put it out, there was things that was being said, much like Coach Carroll said. Russell Wilson did say, well, if they're going to be tripping on me, I want to go here. Mm-hmm. But he never said it publicly. He went through a third party to say it. He never once said it publicly. Let's start there. Two, Russell Wilson never wanted to alienate the Pacific Northwest. He's embedded in the community. He doesn't want to alienate a great thing. Like, you're leaving Seattle to go where?
Well, he gave Dallas, which would have been a great spot for him.
That was never going
Chicago would have been a great spot for him, and the Bears tried. But John Schneider said we didn't even talk about it.
Exactly.
Didn't even talk about it.
The Jets.
That wasn't on his list, though.
I know, right? But you're saying New York.
Oh, yeah. New York would have been a great place for him.
But everybody started putting big cities together.
Of course,
because
that's what we do.
Oh, my God.
That's what we love to do.
Sierra.
Everybody has an opinion, and that opinion becomes news.
But we've talked about this, though, Jay. Like, and his we've talked about Sierra and that impact also on her wanting to be in a bigger market for her career. Like, maybe that's what they were trying to do here is get their way out of
her
there.
Her career going to be her career no matter what city she in, because she doesn't have to be in a city to do music. She can do music from anywhere.
But everything wasn't okay. But as long as you come out and you say everything is okay, but it's like marriage.
I haven't heard Russ say
it. You go through rocky times, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? Calm always wins. At the end of the day,
But here's why it was okay, though, Jay. Because I'm not trading my quarterback. Stop calling me.
I understand that.
So it's okay on my end. I don't give a damn what he says. I don't have Deshaun Watson. Right. I'm not trading my quarterback. And this is something that I continued to say throughout the process. Oh, Key, you don't know what you're talking about. Dallas will be a great for him. Man, Dallas is getting ready to pay Dak Prescott, man. Dallas is not moving on from him to go to Deshaun or Russell Wilson. Why would you do that? When you got to pay them, but you won't pay the guy that you know the most about. It doesn't make any sense. And why would Seattle try and move Russell Wilson when there's no viable person that you replace him with? You're not getting Deshaun. You're not getting Aaron Rodgers. You want Sam Darnold as a backup.
Mm-hmm. Not as a starting QB.
So what else is there to do other than make good, sit down with the guy? He asked you to address some issues. You addressed the issues. He asked you to sign Flash Gordon. He went out and signed Flash Gordon. You need an offensive lineman. You signed Carlos Dunlap back. Russell Wilson said, I'm with you. I'm here. Like, what more do you need to come out of Seattle to validate that Russell Wilson is not on the move?
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Let's get back to calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As the question we're asking on draft day is which team that if they make the right move on the first day, on your first round, their first pick, can change their fortunes in 2021? This is an interesting one. Dennis in Tennessee. Dennis.
Hey, guys.
How we doing?
What's up, Dennis?
First, a shout-out to Jay and Keyshawn.
What's that?
What's up, baby?
My big thing is everybody's talking about all these teams with the changes, and the one team that's not going to change is going to be the Giants. I'm a big Giant fan, but, you know, I'm sick and tired of the Giants blowing it.
Dude, blowing it in what way? Like, do you think like this pick?
Okay,
they pick
the
at 11. It'll be best.
Let's go with the draft. I mean, the draft has been terrible. The team has been terrible.
So you don't like Saquon Barkley? You don't like Daniel Jones? Those choices,
running back.
I don't like Daniel Jones.
Okay.
I don't think he was the quarterback that they should pick in the sixth pick with the draft. Right. They could have got anybody else. And, you know, could have got maybe a good defender. We could have got offensive line help back then. But they picked Jones.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Dennis. I mean, Dennis sounds like a disgruntled Giants fan who feels like no matter what they do, it's going to be a failure.
I feel like
the Giants are a pick away from being really good.
I agree. Look, our offense is lousy. I mean, we only averaged 17.5 points per game last season, right? Our defense is decent. But I think we
finished the season kind of trending up.
You do? I mean, look.
Without Saquon.
I would love to trade up for Penei Sewell if that's possible.
Yeah.
I want to shore up our offensive line. Look, but at 11, if you can't make that move, do you get a guy like Waddle? Do you get a guy like Devontae Smith? Another weapon to add on to what you've already added? I mean, you have to be looking at something like that or a corner. Something like that.
Yeah. I don't, we'll see on the Giants. All right. So, how about the Bears? I mean, they are really stuck. And I say stuck in the kindest possible way.
Can I just say something? Every time I think about the Bears, there's just this, there's a picture that comes up yesterday. It was on the TV screen. And it just, the last couple of days, Key's been in my head, where it's been a picture of Ryan Pace. And Key's like, oh, look at that. That's who you're going to allow to make a decision on whether you're going to be a good player or not.
That actually did happen.
Y'all make me sound like just a bad guy, man.
You said it.
What's it say on his shirt? Salty Crew?
Salty Crew.
Just make me sound like a, y'all make me sound like a bad dude, and I'm not a bad dude.
It's true, though. I'm not saying you're a bad dude. You're just keeping it real.
I'm keeping it 100. I look at Ryan Pace's face and I say to myself, that's the guy that's going to decide your career.
Exactly.
Well,
that's my point.
They have a lot. They have empowered this dude to make a decision on young athletes' careers coming out of college trying to go in the NFL.
Looking forward to having Ryan Pace on the show at some point.
I don't give a damn.
But they do have Andy Dalton. Or will they make a big gamble tonight with their draft pick? That's coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and ESPN2.
Look at that face.
We didn't even have to wait for the draft to get breaking moves in the NFL as the Broncos acquired quarterback Teddy Bridgewater from the Panthers on Wednesday. Breaking moves brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Market's crazy.
I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven.
If you're Andy Dalton, do you pay attention? Like, this is if
you have
if you were the biggest sports fan, right? Like, if you're Andy Dalton, you love sports. This is not a time to listen to any of this. Like, because it's
a great time for him. It's all
fuel. You got $10 million in the bank. That's
all
nice,
fuel.
But
it's all fuel.
Oh, is that what you? Okay,
it's all
that's
fuel.
What it is?
That's how he'll use it. That's how I would use it.
I mean, this point of his career, and people are basically talking about him like he's a bum.
See, if I could curse and just go off, I would, because if I'm Andy Dalton, I'm not paying no damn attention. I'm in the National Football League. I'm the quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
You can kiss my you-know-what.
But you know that's not how it works.
But the people mentals don't.
But it's not because you can't escape it, man. People, especially in Charlotte, like people be saying stuff to you walking down the street. Think about when people say something to you or when an article pops up about you, Key, people are like, hey, did you see the article that came up? Like, you can't run away from stuff these days.
Good. You should read it. It's a good
That's
article.
That's what I said. Use it as fuel.
Is Andy Dalton in the bottom half, talk about, all right, 32 teams, right? So is he 17 to 32 as far as starting quarterbacks, or is he within the top 16 talent-wise? Where would you put him?
Was he in the middle? I'm just trying to think.
He's like right there.
Boom. I mean, he's...
He's like
middle back.
Right. Middle back, yeah.
Right there in the middle.
All right, so it's
not a bad – he's not
right,
a bad –
but we talk about it.
But it's just about Chicago.
First of all,
that's
not,
why.
There's only so many it's QBs that are at the top. And we all know who the top guys are.
Right.
Right? There's only five of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the guys are kind of just there.
Right.
You know.
And in his division, would you put him second? Think about it.
See, everybody's second. In that division, nobody separates themselves. Whether it's Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins.
So if I told you we're picking teams, and I said to you, "All right, Aaron Rodgers off the board, right? He was picked number one. Jay already took him. You have to take the next quarterback to be your starting quarterback out of that division. Who you taking?"
I'm taking Jared Goff.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking Jared Goff.
Okay. Right. Can I just go back to a point on Andy Dalton? Because we talked about this yesterday. I just want to make sure I reiterate it. The Bears starting quarterback since the year 2000. When we put up that list.
That list. Key, oh, my God.
Mitchell Trubisky.
There it is.
Nick Foles.
ESPN 2 right
Chase
now.
Chase Daniel. Mike Glennon. $18 million, Mike Glennon, by the way. Tanner Gentry. I mean, Jay Cutler.
I'll take Jay Cutler.
I'll take Jay.
Yeah.
All right. Matt Barkley. Brian Hoyer. Jimmy Clausen. Josh McCown. Jason Campbell. I mean, it's.
You had Josh McCown and Cade McNown. Just something funny about that.
Dang, Jason Campbell was there?
That's what I'm saying. Look at the list. It's a long list.
Cordell Stewart started a game.
That's almost. How many quarterbacks? I can't even count. How many quarterbacks is that?
No, Greasy was there.
Yeah, no, I know. Brian Greasy was there, obviously.
6, 7, 8, 9 Is that 9 in each row? I can't see.
That's a lot of QBs. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10
That's like almost.
That's since 2000.
That's 1.3 quarterbacks per year.
Matt Barkley. Look at the names on this. Chris Chandler.
Yeah, Chris Chandler, Jim Miller, all of them. Yeah, them dudes all the way to the far right. I played against all them dudes.
Like, there's definitely a rap lyric there. Just with Craig just with Josh Josh McCown and Cade McCown.
It's only one dude. I mean, all those dudes played there at different ages and stages of their careers. Uh-huh. But it's only really one dude on that list that I'll rock with. That would be Jay Cutler. The rest of them, man. Y'all can
so Andy Dalton is supposed to be the guy, right? Like he's the guy. QB1, right? That's what they say. But let's bring this back from yesterday only because Jay and I just want to see Keyshawn just detonate right
and
now.
And I want people at home to feel what Key feels.
Here it is, too. Like, if you, because on radio, you can't see it. But when you listen to the voice and the explanation, I want you to try to picture what Keyshawn's trying to say when he says, that guy is deciding your fate. And that would be Ryan Pace, the GM, talking about what the Bears could do at 20, even though they already have two veteran quarterbacks.
If we did draft a quarterback, I do think it's a good room, for sure. I mean, those guys are both have a lot of experience, a lot of different experiences, too, which I think is good. And I think the coaching staff that we have there at that position is strong as well. We talked about it earlier with Matt and with Laser and with Flip. It's a strong coaching staff around that position, and we have a lot of veteran leadership in that room too. So, yeah, to answer your question, I do think it'd be a good room for a young player to enter. But, again, we're just going to take the best players throughout this draft.
See? I can't do it.
No.
Go ahead.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Let it out.
I can't do it.
Just because you wants say to it let doesn't it rip, mean it's true.
But he can't let it rip.
No,
I'm
just saying they employed him to be in charge of what they're going to do in the draft.
And that really bothers you. Well, they have two veterans, and it's a good room for a young quarterback.
But it's the same dude that paid Glennon $18 million to be a backup. Because you eventually drafted and moved up to get Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, that was a head scratcher. Fleeced for it. Yeah, that was
got
a head scratcher.
Fleeced for it by John Lynch.
Yeah.
Stanford versus something else. John Lynch.
888-729-3776. Let's go to David in Wisconsin on the Bears. David?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, whatever they do with quarterback in the draft, because they're going to draft one at some point, I really just hope it's not Mac Jones. As long as it's not him,
trade up.
I'm fine.
There, why man. You don't like Mac Jones, there. Man? Flavor of the month.
Why are you hating on Alabama's Mac Jones?
Because nowadays, pure pocket passer young quarterbacks, they don't work.
Oh.
Like all the pure pocket passing really? Quarterbacks, they're all in their 30s.
Really?
Like
what goes around comes around, though. Trends always seem to come back, and I think if the Bears
start
did
with
that,
Mac Jones?
And it's going to happen in Chicago.
It's sort of like, you know, it's the mullet. You keep it long enough, eventually people will be wearing mullets again.
And I'm so tired of this excuse in Chicago from fans that hit him like, well, we never had a really good – it's always been our defense. That's how we win champion. Well, there's a new age.
Well, no, that's somewhat
– I know, but –
pretty
that's
accurate.
I hear that. That's somewhat true. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's like, well, I mean, you can make
– always had a great running game.
It doesn't
and great
mean
defense.
That things can't change no, for the future. It doesn't mean true. That you can't be adaptable – and change out what has always been and say, well, the things that have always been in relationships don't mean it's going to help new age relationships. Like, things are different
think
these
about,
days.
But think, I want you to just think about it for a minute, though, Jay. When you just go around certain organizations within the – it's the weirdest, and I don't even know the word that I'm looking for, but you may go through your Duke dictionary and help me. It's a weird thing in organizations and style of play in football. I can point to the Steelers are always going to be the Steelers. They're going to run the football. They're going to play defense. They're going to have some blocking receivers, and they're going to have a quarterback that can dink and dunk. That's always been them from the 70s. That's just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the identity, Chicago Bears. They're going to always have a linebacker on defense. They're going to have a running back. They're going to have a quarterback that can't get it done, and they're going to get it done on a defense and in special teams.
Yeah.
That's just
Monsters of the Midway. That's what they've
always
been.
You look at the Rams. They're going to always be, ever since I can remember, high-flying. They're going to have a running back, and they're going to have a plethora of wide receivers, and they're going to spit that thing out everywhere. That's just how teams are. I don't know why that is. That's just what it's always been. The Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to always have a quarterback that's going to push the ball down the field. That's just, I guess maybe that's just the way organizations have been, and they just kind of copycat and do it over again. Think about the Eagles with Andy Reid. They went and got an Andy Reid disciple to take them to the Super Bowl, essentially running the same damn thing Andy Reid ran.
But if you do have a chance to get generational talent, where you're going to say, well, I'm going to make that talent fit into the scheme of how we play. You're not going to build around the talent moving forward.
But it's one thing if the Bears were in the top 10. They're 20.
I understand you.
I mean, unless it's Kyle Trask. I mean, what are you going to do at 20?
I honestly would have just kept Mitch Trubisky and tried to clean him up. Because he started playing better the second half of the season when they started to implement more things that he can do at the quarterback position opposed to the first half of the season.
Well, what does it say when Ryan Pace says, what a great room we've got, what great coaching we have for a young quarterback, and you just had one. And
so I said, just because you say it doesn't make it true.
Yeah.
Just because you say it doesn't make it true.
Let's go to Matt in Texas. Go ahead, Matt.
Weren't they just part ways with Nick Foles, try to get a Justin Fields that might fall in the draft, you know, one of these top five? What about Kellen Munn out of Texas A&M? He's got the biggest arm in the draft. Nobody's even talking about him.
Kellen Munn is an interesting second-day guy. He's a second-round type pick. I don't think he moved. You know, he's that Kyle Trask, Davis Mills. He's in that group of quarterbacks. I'm not particularly in love with him. I don't like his throwing motion, but he fits into what
NFL
is doing.
Plays
right
the way
now.
They're playing now,
yeah,
right?
He fits in. I don't like his throwing motion though. He throws kind of weird to me. But so did Phillip Rivers. No, but I'm gonna say
right.
So did Phillip Rivers. So it doesn't really matter. It just looks funky to me.
Okay,
it looks like he's struggling, even though he's not. You know, he's a wind up, a big delivery. But he's a second-day guy. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but there's some thought that he could be a sneaky good pick for somebody.
But they really should have kept Mitch Trubisky. They really should have. Now watch Mitch Trubisky go to Buffalo. He's going to be with
pay his dues.
He's going to be with Daboll. Daboll's going to get him in a room, clean him up, make him look all sexy and everything, play him in the preseason a little bit, see him in practice, and then guess what he'll do? He'll go get his head coaching job in 2022 and then bring him along, and Mitch Trubisky will be a Pro Bowler 3 years later. You watch what I tell you.
Do you think he's that good? Like, does he have that kind of – at least a foundation of being good enough to do something like that?
He has something.
Well, he played better in the second half of the season.
Yes, but he has something.
Okay.
It ain't all of it. We're not talking about a dude that can't play football. He can play football. He's got something. Or else he wouldn't have been the second overall pick. You don't take a guy a second overall pick that can't play football. He didn't forget how to play football overnight. It's just that when you're stuck in certain situations and those that are supposed to be the geniuses, the smart guys, can't figure out what you are, these are the sort of things that happen to guys. They fall by the wayside.
It's happening.
And then if you continue to go to those type of programs that can't figure you out, you eventually – or a bust, or out of the league.
And we're seeing it now in the league, a lot of highly drafted quarterbacks that didn't pan out right away, becoming backups to try to reset their careers. That is starting to happen. That's
most recently,
a trend.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and that's one of them. Obviously, Jameis Winston and Marcus Winston. Mariota.
Look at Marcus Mariota, the one happening. Game he played in last year for
Beast
the Raiders.
Of a game.
He balled out.
Beast of a game.
So it could be a continuing to be a trend with Mitchell Trubisky certainly as well. All right, let's ask Dan Orlovsky about that. That's coming up after SportsCenter.
The Suns will be in the playoffs as they have won this game, defeated the Los Angeles Clippers in a big victory. They never trailed in the entire ball game. And the final here tonight, the Suns get the win. The Suns 109, the Los Angeles Clippers 101.
And that's how it sounded on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM as the Phoenix Suns did clinch a playoff berth. It's their first one, guys, since 2010. A 10-season drought. It's tied for the fifth longest all time. Devin Booker, the star on the Suns, was in middle school the last time the Suns made the postseason. On to the NFL, a big trade for a quarterback. The Broncos, they added Teddy Bridgewater in a deal with the Panthers. Carolina gets a sixth-round draft pick out of the deal. They will pay $7 million to Bridgewater, while the Broncos will owe him just $3 million. And that's a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter. The trade will not take the Broncos, however. They have the ninth overall pick. It will not take them out of the market for a quarterback in Thursday tonight's NFL draft, a source tells ESPN. Yes, NFL draft finally tonight on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Radio. Coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern, and the Jaguars will make their first pick shortly after 8 p.m. Eastern. That'll be on ESPN, ABC, and, of course, right here on ESPN Radio. Trevor Lawrence looking to become the first Clemson player in the Common Draft era to be selected first overall. SportsCenter brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, to make the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's bring in Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN football analyst.
Danny O.
12-year veteran of the NFL as well as a quarterback. And it is draft day, Dan. And we've been talking about the quarterbacks here and the Chicago situation. So let's bring you in on that conversation. As Keith's talking about with Mitch Trubisky ending up now in Buffalo, and he just sees it as, A, the Bears should have just kept him, and B, he thinks Trubisky could be just developed and wind up just like we're seeing Ryan Tannehill and maybe even what Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota is doing, is that reset somewhere as a backup and then reach your potential elsewhere. What do you think?
I don't disagree. You know, I think with touching the Mitchell Trubisky situation, I think the reality is that we have realized that Chicago just wasn't very good at developing a quarterback, okay? So now he goes to Buffalo, to Key's point. And the thing that has stood out about Josh Allen's progression in Buffalo is how much he has developed, how much that organization and coaching staff and player have bought into his own personal development. So it's a great place for Mitch Trubisky to kind of show my talent is good enough. I have said this for 2 years now. Most of these quarterbacks that get drafted into the NFL that are franchise quarterbacks, they don't not make it because they don't have talent. Mitchell Trubisky has talent. They fail because the team, the player, the organization does not figure out what their one or two major flaws are, and they don't attack that flaw to make sure that that flaw doesn't hold them back. And Mitchell Trubisky's was mechanics. His feet were terrible, and they never got better. So if they fix that in Buffalo, he's talented enough to go, all right, maybe there is this development progression that he can go on. Now with Chicago, listen, this is simple for me tonight for Chicago. You go into this draft anticipating or believing that Andy Dalton does not exist. He doesn't exist. He's not on your football team. Because then that creates urgency if one of these quarterbacks does start to fall, does start to slip just a little bit. If a Trey Lance or a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields, and I think it's really Trey or Justin Fields that it would be worthy to go get, so to speak. If those guys start to fall, you can't sit back if you're Chicago and be like, now we're good. We got Andy Dalton. We don't need to be ultra aggressive. Yeah, you do. If they start to slip, it is your responsibility as an organization to go, you know what? Here is our chance to go get a talented young player that we can't pass on. So I think that they need to have the mindset that Andy's not on the team to create urgency.
Then if that's a team like Denver, right, considering they just made a trade for Teddy, like what do you give up if you're the Bears in order to say, hey, I need to get in that 9 position?
Whatever it's necessary.
Wow.
I mean, Jay, and I know that sounds like a lot, man, but, dude, you are more – what is more likely – that you ride through this season if you're the general manager and the head coach, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, that you ride through the season with Andy Dalton and somehow you win 10 or 11 games to get to the playoffs and you save your jobs, or it takes you next year's 1, this year's 2, and maybe next year's 3 or something like that to get up to the 9 spot and you get a young, talented player that you can go to organization and go, you know what? We were 8-9 this year, but we saved our jobs because we got this talented quarterback, and give us another year with him. What's more likely? I mean, the latter is the more likely situation. So if it costs you things in the future to help the present, it's worth it.
Mm. What was your reaction to Teddy Bridgewater being moved from Carolina to the Denver Broncos? I know mine.
A player and organizations were put on notice. I think, first of all, the organizations that were put on notice were the teams that thought they could hop up to 8 or 9 to get a quarterback. I don't think you can. I don't think if you're New England, if you're Chicago, if you're Washington, if you're Pittsburgh, I don't think you can wait. If you're going to go and get a quarterback, you got to go ahead at 8 now. Because Carolina making the trade, and I love Sam Darnold, and I think he's super talented. But I don't believe that Carolina is going to go into the season with just Sam Darnold. Okay? I think they are now, at least,
they got Will Greer,
a player in the quarterback draft market tonight. What?
There's Will Greer sitting there.
Yeah. So you got to believe that they're a player in the quarterback market tonight, right? So if you're one of those teams, you're thinking like, man, we got to go jump ahead at 8 now. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the teams 4, 5, 6, and 7 are ecstatic. Because if you want a quarterback, come get them. You know, like, you got to pay me a premium. And then I believe Drew Locke was put on notice, the starting quarterback for Denver. Mm-hmm. You know, Denver is a playoff team. They're a playoff team with good quarterback play. They have that now in Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. They have comfort in knowing we got good quarterback play. And I still think they're in the market that if their guy starts to slip just a pick or two, that they'll go get their guy. And they can use Drew Locke as a trade chip. You know, there might be teams out there go, young player, we liked him coming out of college. We'll take him, you know, and so I think that Drew Locke and some of those other teams that want a quarterback, they were put on notice.
Howie Roseman said, the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, one of your favorite teams, Dan, said that he's sticking to his draft board. He's not moving. He's just going to sit tight at 12. What do you think they should do?
Yeah, they should have done that last year. I think Philly's roster is really bad, Key. I think it's a very subpar roster. I don't think you'd trade up. Here's the thing. If Philly wants the receiver they want, they have to jump the Giants because the Giants are potentially going to take a receiver. And if they want a corner they got to jump Dallas, right? Two teams within their division. So I get it. But their roster is so poor, I say sit there and take the best player that comes to you, non-quarterback. I don't care if he's a receiver. I don't care if he's a defensive back. I don't care if he's a defensive end. I don't care if it's a linebacker. I don't care if it's an offensive lineman. Your roster's not good right now. You are in rebuild mode with 3 potential first-round picks next year. Do not continue to try to take picks from the future to win right now. You're not a win-now football team. You don't need to win now, so to speak, unless you think you have to do to save your job. I think you sit there and take the best player that comes.
When you draft trying to save your job, that's when your franchise is really in trouble. Dan Orlowski joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, I want to read you a tweet from Adam Schefter from just moments ago and get your reaction to it. Schefter saying multiple teams are expected to contact the 49ers today to inquire about the availability of Jimmy Garoppolo. This is according to sources. But as of early this morning, the chances of him being traded are, in the words of one source, remote. And then he said, let's see if anything changes in the next 72 hours. What do you see happening there with the Niners?
Yeah, I think they're going to take Mac Jones. I have felt that way. I'm okay if I'm wrong, because I want to be right on that one. So
wait, Dan, should they take Mac Jones? Should they take Mac Jones?
Jay, have you watched ESPN for the last 3 months, bud? Of course they should. I have never wavered from that. I have never wavered from that. Yes, they should take Mac Jones. I love you, Jay. I think that if they take Mac Jones, then Jimmy G becomes expendable. You know, If they take Trey Lance, I don't think they could trade Jimmy G because it's a flyer as a draft pick, as much as intriguing talent that he is. So I think Jimmy G becomes expendable. And I think that's obviously the ties to New England would make a lot of sense. Because here's my thing, guys, like what happens at three is so impactful because I believe that if San Francisco takes Jimmy or Mac Jones, then Atlanta, the quarterback intrigue is still available. Like I could sit there and say, yeah, they'll take Trey Lance or they took Justin Fields if Mac goes three. If Trey Lance goes three, I think Atlanta's less likely to take a quarterback, and then Jimmy G is less likely to get traded.
Right.
So I believe, like, once three happens, that hour stretch could equal just pure pandemonium tonight with what does New England do? Does Carolina go get him? Does Denver make a – like, there's so much movement that I think can happen dependent on what San Francisco does.
Hey, Dan, I just want you to know I haven't been able to watch you on ESPN the last 3 months because I've been on air for 4 hours a day on ESPN. So,
well,
you don't have a phone, Jay? 3 months. You could do your show and watch on the app, Jay. ESPN
I can't
app.
Do – I'm with Key every day. How can I
haven't
multitask?
Been here. I just got back. Don't start lying.
How can I multitask?
Yeah. Dan, just so you know, I watch for everybody. So I've seen everything you've said.
Dan,
I'm better than you, man.
Dan,
for your sake,
Dan, I hope Mac Jones goes three because if he doesn't,
you're on tomorrow, Dan. You are on with us tomorrow.
Dan, expect to be on the show tomorrow. There's no doubt. Either way, because we'll let you also
you
take
lying,
that
Key.
Victory lap. Dan, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you.
I'm gonna rock a Mac Jones jersey around your
Thanks,
house
guys.
Right. The other day.
Dan Orlovsky, he joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We are Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin. I'm Alan Hound in for Zubin. We are presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Take it or shake it. You guys want to play that next? That's
Can
coming
I crumble
up next.
This paper? Is it okay?
Nope. Nope.
What kind of paper
nope.
is it? Can you make the shot?
Nope.
Now you got to make the shot. There. Everybody's anticipating
don't have,
you making
don't have
the
GoPro.
Shot under
we
pressure.
Don't have the GoPro. Oh, long.
If you had a backboard, it would have gone in. I'll give you that. All right. Take it or shake it. Coming up next, KJZ, ESPN Radio,
Just
ESPN News
sure
on your television.
Riley in South Carolina, you're on ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, day one listener, man. I'm a big fan. Hey, Jay, I appreciate your football acumen. Hey, Zubin, you the man. Key, I appreciate you and you was down there in Carolina too, baby. I appreciate
More
that.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah.
We all say shake it, not one at a time, because Bart screwed it up when he was here and Zubin.
So we're playing take it or shake it. Keyshawn is telling me how to play the game because I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, when he says take it, we say take it, not individually. We don't individually say take it or shake it. We say it collectively. As I go say take it, we all say take it.
Wait, you're the one that decides take it or shake it?
Yes.
And we just sing with you? We're the chorus?
Yes, that is correct.
So we're the pips? How do we become the pips here all of a sudden?
No, but then take it or shake it.
Gladys?
Shake it! Together.
Take it!
All together. Everybody in the
booth. But what if I disagree and I think we should take it?
I agree with you.
Then, after I go, If you disagree, then you can chime in. But it's no take it for you, shake it for me, take it for him. Collectively, it starts here. I go. We all go. The control room goes. Then that's how we roll. You've been they've been screwing it up for the longest.
I like the way the game is played when we just do it on our own. Me personally, but
Jay, we're the Pips. That's how this works.
This is what Key is saying, pretty much.
I wrote the script for the game, so therefore, we're going to do it the way I say do it. So let's go, Evan.
All right, Jay, take it or shake it. The Patriots will trade for Jimmy G.
1, 2, 3. Shake it! The reason they're not going to trade for Jimmy G is because the San Francisco 49ers are going to make a decision on a different quarterback other than Mac Jones. Those quarterbacks, either Trey Lance or Justin Fields, will have to sit behind Jimmy G for 1 or 2 years, and then they take over. They don't want to start with him. Those young quarterbacks and Jimmy G on the move.
I just don't see the 49ers being like, oh, we have a chance to win a Super Bowl. We're going to give that opportunity to a rookie. No.
All right, but
you're going to stick with Jimmy G.
I think it's they will trade him. It doesn't give a timestamp on it, which is why I think he's eventually getting traded, and he's got a no-trade clause, which means he's going back to Bill. That's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't know when, but it's going to happen.
Okay.
So if he said this year or tonight or this weekend,
will he be healthy?
Shake it. But I take it because he's going there.
Will he be healthy?
Yeah, he's healthy now.
I mean, will Jimmy G finish this season healthy?
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah, he will.
Mm. All right. Yeah, he's got to eventually.
All right, let's go on.
We can ask him all about it Tuesday. Jimmy Garoppolo, 9:10 on the show.
Oh, wow, good plug.
That's a hell of a tease.
Good plug.
Someone not named Locke or Bridgewater will be the Broncos starter this season. Take it or shake it.
Shake it! They just traded for Teddy Two Gloves to be the starter. Drew Locke, if they take a quarterback in this year's draft in the first round, Drew Locke will be the third quarterback, and on the move, Teddy Bridgewater will be the bridge gap between the young quarterback they select. Ooh. That's what he'll be.
I like that. Bridgewater will be the bridge gap.
Teddy Bridgewater
will be, the bridge quarterback.
Well done.
Nice.
Jesus Christ.
Next one, Evan. Here we go.
Alan, the game right?
Alan, the Panthers will pick a quarterback at number 8.
Go ahead, Alan.
Shake it!
Shake that.
Will not pick a quarterback at 8. They'll do something else there. I think they will trade out of that spot if one of these guys fall and somebody will come up to 8 and give them some extra draft capital to pick a quarterback.
I think that pick is for sale. And it could get sold. Yeah, I definitely think that pick is for sale. At some point today, it could get moved.
Kimberly Martin reported on SportsCenter this morning that they are still getting calls at number 8. And if they don't take a quarterback, they're going to take offensive linemen at number 8. So we'll have to see what happens at 8. We have seen Julio Jones' final reception as a Falcon.
Shake it!
Damn, let him finish the question.
He knew it. He sees it.
Shake it! Not going to happen.
Shake that.
Jones is not going to be on the move. He stays in Atlanta. They get it together, Arthur Smith, Matt Ryan. But they do select one of these young quarterbacks because in the next 24 months or so, Matt Ryan will be on the move somewhere.
And you'd rather have Julio, who's obviously everything you want, right? He's a star. He's the face of your franchise.
Just got to stay healthy.
And you'd rather have him with a young quarterback because at least that young quarterback has a target like that.
We'd love to have Justin Fields have a guy like Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Matt Ryan to learn from.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Jones, this will be Daniel Jones' last year as Giants starter. Take it or shake it.
Shake it! They've invested too much into Daniel Jones. They're starting to put some pieces around him. They need to just shore up the offensive line. These young quarterbacks need help. If you think about Josh Allen and Brandon Bean, they went out and got him help both on the offensive line and at the skill positions. Now he's a different quarterback. You think about Joe Burrow. They've got to address the issue at 5 with Penei Sewell out of Oregon to protect him and not take a skill position player. This is the same thing for Daniel Jones. You've got to keep him upright.
Yep.
He needs to hold on to the football, though. You get Saquon Barkley back. They went out and got some skill position players in free agency. Hopefully Ingram will turn out to be something. But, yeah, the Giants, more and more I look at them, they might turn out to be
something. Yeah, they should be. Got Galladay, which is a huge pickup for them. And look, Brandon Bean said it yesterday when he came on our show. He said the first priority we had for Josh Allen was our O-line because we wanted to keep him upright.
Right.
Dave Gettleman, hear that. First priority.
He talks about the hog mollies all the time. He's been trying to rebuild that offensive line. He just hasn't done a very good job of it.
Thank
but you. Maybe they get a little bit closer this year.
All right, guys, this last one's fun. If LeBron James was in the NFL draft last night, in the NFL draft this year, he would get picked in one of the seven rounds. Take it or shake it.
You mean
at the current age?
Current age, current, LeBron?
Or like a young LeBron?
Out of high school, LeBron.
LeBron James right now, this draft, this year, this age.
At 36?
At 36? No. What?
No.
Take
no.
it!
Take I'm not it? Even Take repeating it? That. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Take it?
No.
Yes, absolutely. He will get picked in one of the seven rounds of the NFL draft for the same reasons that teams will sign him when his son comes out. Ticket sales. People want to see LeBron James get hit right upside his head and learn that football is not a joke. It's very painful. This is not high school. This is the NFL. And those guys don't give a damn how big you are. When you get hit in your chin, it's a lot different than basketball and high school football.
I would predict that Bart Scott would come out of retirement just for the opportunity to introduce
him. Can you imagine
him
going across
the
middle and getting hit?
Advice for Zach Wilson next. KJZ, ESPN Radio.